After a pretty dire end to the last year, there are early signs that this year might not be as disastrous for markets and economies as feared. Having fallen close to 20% between October and Christmas Eve, the major US share index has rallied 15% since. The Australian market didn't fall quite as far, and it too has recovered most of its losses. But despite the share market optimism, the Reserve Bank has dramatically shifted gear, putting rate cuts back on the agenda. Michael Yande is our regular Monday finance commentator. Michael, good morning.
Morning, Frank.
Michael, why has the Reserve Bank changed its view from one where interest rates were more likely to go up, it's been its setting for a while, to one where it's 50-50?
Well, it's perhaps the inverse. Ironically, a key reason that global share markets are rallying is that central banks around the world, not just here, have been forced to back away from imminent rate rises, notably in the US. And we're now back in this odd situation where a more negative economic outlook means lower rates, and lower rates means higher asset prices, at least for now. In the Australian context, the quarterly statement on monetary policy from the Reserve Bank out on Friday showed up to a half a percentage point cut to the Reserve Bank's economic growth forecast, and that is the key reason why the bank has said that it's now pretty much a 50-50 call whether the next move in rates is up or down. Moreover, as the Sydney and Melbourne housing slumps persist, the Reserve is less confident than it was that consumer spending will hold up in the face of falling house prices. The bank's hoping that early signs of bigger wage increases will continue and that will support household spending despite the falling house prices. But as JP Morgan's senior economist Ben Jarman explains, the key is what happens to the jobs market over the next 6 months or so.
Growth has slowed and the consumer has slowed, but as yet the labour market's been relatively preserved from that shock. Now, when we look at leading indicators like the business surveys and job advertisements and the like, they have softened, but they're not showing any dramatic weakening in the labour market. Yes, we've seen business confidence fall, but that's not actually at this point translating to changes in what firms plan to do with their hiring. So that's really the question from here is, do firms kind of hold on and keep the same outlook for hiring, or are they getting more pessimistic in a way which will actually affect their plans?
That's JP Morgan's Ben Jarman. So, Michael, what's your view then on that question of whether the labour market can hold up in the face of a slowing economy? Because the Prime Minister just promised, if he's re-elected, 1.25 million jobs over 5 years.
Well, Fran, you have to say there are an awful lot of headwinds for job creation, not least of which is the rundown in the residential construction boom. Between 2012 and about last year, more than 240,000 extra people were employed in the construction and construction services sector due to this record-breaking apartment building boom. Now, if residential building activity fell back to 2012 levels, losing those jobs, if they weren't replaced elsewhere, could drive unemployment up to 7% or more. That could have negative flow-ons to property prices and also, of course, consumer spending, with a whole bunch of unemployed construction workers. But Ben Jarman says big transport infrastructure investments by state governments, especially in Sydney and Melbourne, should help soak up some of these construction workers.
We do think that the home building activity is definitely peaked and that will be coming lower. That will be a drag on construction employment, but we are somewhat more upbeat on infrastructure work, and we think there's more projects that will be finalised and announced and committed to over time. So that helps a little bit absorb some of that runoff of home building labour towards more, heavy construction type labour. But looking more broadly, it's really the services economy that's going to dictate how the labour market goes. It's the most labour intensive part of the economy, and again, that's where the business surveys have been holding up, suggesting things will be okay, but it clearly is the space to watch.
Now, the risk for services there, Fran, is that with falling property values, many households may decide to tighten their belts and cut back on spending, and there have been signs of this happening. Now, also signs of it showing up in the trade data, with a 6% fall in imports in December, including a 7% fall in consumer goods, and that was led by a 25% slump in car imports, vehicle imports. That comes off the back of
a
decline.
It's a big slump, isn't it?
Huge slump. 3% decline in new car sales last year for 2018. Now, while this is a disaster for car dealers, it's not necessarily bad news for the economy. If households feeling the financial strain are cutting spending on big ticket imported items where most of the money flows overseas, that may help keep them spending on local services, and Ben Jarman says the import figures show Australia's floating exchange rate is doing its bit for the economy.
That's part of the currency doing its job to reorganise demand and stabilise production, is that we have seen the currency fall, and so we would expect activity to pivot more towards services, which does support the labour market to an extent.
Now, the key question, of course, that Ben Jarman and other economists are looking at is, are the cutbacks on buying cars just the first stage in households cutting back spending?
Well, he spoke a little there about business confidence, and we get the latest reading on that, as well as consumer confidence, which is what you're referring to there, later this week, don't we?
That's right. And we had a terrible December reading out in January on business conditions, which had their biggest fall since the global financial crisis. Tomorrow we get the January number, and it will be interesting to see if there's a bounce back reflecting the improved mood on markets, or whether it falls even further, reflecting the local data and gloomy media reports. We also get consumer confidence on Wednesday. Last month saw the first negative reading in more than a year, so we'll see if that bounces back or keeps getting worse.
Well, again, Michael, one of the big factors in consumer confidence is the property market. And after a very weak end to 2018, we're getting some early signs of how it's going this year.
Yeah, it is way too early to tell just how it will go, but there was a stabilisation in Sydney's preliminary clearance rate, which near 60% is pretty similar to the same week a year ago, which is unusual in the Sydney market, which has been generally much weaker than a year earlier. Melbourne was much weaker than a year ago, though, so it will be interesting to see if these trends continue. It is hard to tell, though, because a lot of properties that didn't sell at the end of last year are still on the market now, and the key test will be how many new listings come on for the autumn selling season.
Michael, the half-year profit reporting season is underway. This week's a big one for results. What are we looking for?
Well, look, today we've got Bendigo and Adelaide Bank and JB Hi-Fi on that retail front. We've got CSL on Wednesday, big blood products manufacturer, and a company that's doing very well in Australia now, I think the fifth most valuable company on the share market. The big one to watch, Thursday, AMP already flagged a huge 96% fall in profits and slashing its dividend, and Telstra is also out on Thursday.
Okay, it is a big week. How are markets set to start the week?
The US had a pretty subdued end to last week. The S&P 500 index up just 0.1%. The Dow Jones was down slightly. The ASX SPY 200 futures down 0.1%, so pretty flat start to the market ahead of those profit results. And the Australian dollar, Fran, pretty steady after that big fall last week at 70.9 US cents.
Michael, thank you very much. Michael Leander is the ABC Senior Digital Business Reporter and our regular Monday commentator. And if you want to get the latest in finance, head to the ABC News website.